Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Raw Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hanflow from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review Raw, but also SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by Michael Hanflow to look ahead to
Monday Night Raw!
And the next stage in the new era of Triple H. I'm still on a come down from a phenomenal SummerSlam.
Yeah, you know, me as well, and I didn't even like the show as much as you did. The Triple H era stuff already is taking on a life of its own. I think mostly off the segment that opened some, well, the post-match segment of the opener of SummerSlam with the five women all together in the ring, because Triple H has, we kind of touched upon this on the SummerSlam podcast, immediately identified an area with which he feels he is incredibly strong in. Mm-hmm. That is the booking of women's wrestling. Has spotted an area that has been badly, badly underserviced by WWE at large for the last several years. Since the strides he tried to make once upon a time with the sort of golden era of NXT and that collection of call-ups at the time. And what it's done, more so than anything really that happened on last week's Raw, has galvanized people around the idea that he actually can do something. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a long and arduous process. Triple H himself last week, didn't he, said it was a team effort. Mm-hmm. He was big on name-checking Kevin Dunn specifically, which I think got a lot of people confused. It's like, I thought he was going to be one of the first to go. It's a political minefield attempting to completely reimagine a company that has been shaped in one man's image for its virtual entire existence since he first purchased it off his own dad. So it's not just like Triple H can click his fingers and 1 week all of a sudden everything is the way he likes it. Or it looks like, if you're listening and you loved it, your preferred version of NXT, or for that matter, your preferred version of any product. He can't do that. But what he can do quite quickly is do things that look completely justifiable, which is push returning wrestlers, push new wrestlers, mm-hmm. reinvigorate a division. This just looks like sound practice. So it's almost like while he's doing that, we get the old Paul Heyman distraction method of, well, this is a good rest. This is not an ego. It's not a Triple H. It's not me thing. I'm doing this for the good of business. And in the meantime, I'm like, all right, Kevin, can you just call it on the camera cuts, please, mate? Yeah. No, Michael, actually, I'm not going to speak into your ear tonight. You say what you think comes naturally, and I'll just pick up with you if I feel like you need to get something else across in the match. That's absolutely fine. Swearing. Well, if you want, you know, Riddle, if you want, you can tone down the stoner just a little bit. Not every week, just because you're selling the injury. I'm sure next week we'll go back to that stoner thing. Yeah, Vince, loved that direction, didn't you? Loved it. I love Cheech and Chong. Really cool. love, but I enjoy comedy as much as the next man. But just because he's selling the gravitas to Seth thing, just, and then bit by bit, brick by painful brick, he might be able to rebuild it that way. But what I love about the women's division moment was that was an immediate thing, that it didn't need to be this subtle thing. It was an immediate, that is so you, mate. Like, I said this on Twitter, so I'm repeating my own crack here, but you'd have to be hanging neon green skulls off the faces to make that any more of a Triple H scene. That is so his thing. I'll have Poppy singing over the whole thing. That's that much of a him thing. And that alone, well, not that alone, Brock Lesnar lifted the ring with a tractor, but that alone has kind of made SummerSlam Fallout.
Oh,
which would normally be the way we kind of take the piss out, the fact that WWE haven't given us anything to talk about, actually something to talk about. Stuff happened.
They don't really need to advertise anything, do they?
No, stuff happened that, on the episodically driven wrestling show, made you want to watch the next episode of the wrestling show. Imagine that. Imagine that, Vince. It's a fucking marathon, not a sprint, after all.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll talk more about Seth and Riddle and the Street Profits and the Judgment Day in due course, but they should start in the place you alluded to there, and that's Bianca Belair, and what's next for her? Because not only have you got, you know, not Becky Lynch, but Becky Lynch was partnering her against the returning force of Bayley, Dakota Kai, and the newly named Io Sky, formerly Io Shirai, of course. You've got Rhea Ripley, looking like an absolute beast out there for the Judgment Day. Alexa Bliss, as we mentioned, refocused her attention on the world title. It's just so stacked, and I'm also looking forward to some justification, as Andy sort of alluded to on the news today, as to why these three have been put together in this group, other than WWE potentially relapsing into, when we had Team PCB and Team Bad and Team all the others. I sense it's probably not that, but they all have a reason to be together, these three, don't they?
Yeah, there are loose connections that you can make now, and we'll see if WWE chooses to use them or have something else in the back pocket as to why. I will say, this is all obviously very, I suppose beauty is in the eye of the beholder a little bit here, because at the moment, a lot of it will be subjective headcanon. So it's my belief that Dakota Kai specifically will be used, especially as soon as somebody that was legitimately fired and legitimately rehired. This is not just a call-up. This is somebody returned to the company that said, we no longer need you. I feel like we'll have a lot to do with Bayley sort of operating on the sidelines. Mm. It'll be presented as, in kayfabe, of course, as a covert thing where, while she was off injured, she was constantly surveying the scene. She is obsessed with women's wrestling. None of what she said before was ever an act. She believes in this art form more than anybody else, and she didn't like what was happening to certain people, and it became her goal when she came back. She can still spin this as a heel trait, by the way. But that it was her goal and her intention to right some of the wrongs that she foresaw while she was out. What she can do is pin these wrongs on Bianca Belair. Mm. She can say, some champion you were. Like, I held the SmackDown title for a record amount of time, and people couldn't even be, these sheep couldn't even come at this building, and people still talk about my reign as this legendary thing. What happened when you got the belt? People like Dakota Kai were kicked to the curb. Stuff like that, you know, like make her seem like she was a bad leader, pin it on her, that sort of thing. And immediately you've got this. Well, really, we know that Bayley's just got this lingering spite from 2021. So something along those lines, for example. Io Shirai, they have to be careful the tightrope they walk here. But I would be interested in seeing if Triple H has the balls to neg ever so slightly by sort of suggesting through Bayley that, and I look at someone like an Io Sky, what chance was she going to get coming from NXT? What chance did I have when I came from NXT? Dakota Kai here, she didn't even get the chance to come from NXT. So it's no wonder that when I spoke to her, she jumped at the chance to make it onto Monday Night Raw when I was set to make it. I've just come up with that.
Yeah.
Not just off the top of my head. It's stuff that they've permitted me to think about. Mm-hmm. But there are narrative ways with which to bring these women together quite quickly. You've got both Io and Dakota were on NXT with Bianca Belair at the same time, and yet Bianca Belair has soared on the main roster. She has gone to these incredible heights. She's main evented at WrestleMania. She's won the women's title at WrestleMania twice. She now stands pretty much atop the pile in the division, and they could even do just things along the line like, where were my opportunities? You know, we were marooned on the same brand that you were, and yet you have got all these opportunities and we haven't had them. And Bayley being some sort of NXT whisperer, suggesting why her? What's so special about her that you guys didn't get? You know, driving all that negative emotion, all that kind of stuff. So you've got all that. And then at the same time, though we don't know her status exactly, you've got a potential babyface Becky Lynch as Bianca Belair's immediate help for this mini feud they're doing. But you're right to mention Alexa Bliss and Rhea Ripley, because we are suddenly dealing with what looks to be a division, it's that Simpsons, a division on the grow. Rhea Ripley is the muscle of the Judgment Day right now, but that's a cool way to push her without directly pushing her. She can become, again, a woman that the women should be scared of. That's where Rhea Ripley needs to get back to. Yeah. They need to fear the day that she remembers that there's a woman's title.
Fear the Rhea.
We've done it again. We've mastered it again. But they need to remember that one of these days she might challenge for the title and they should be terrified. And she can just batter the Mysterios in the meantime to prove that point. Alexa Bliss, on the other hand, it's going to be interesting tonight, isn't it? I do wonder if Becky Lynch can stick around, if babyface Alexa Bliss will join up with Becky and Bianca in the short term as that third person to put herself in the mix. But we've already now got the awareness that her eyes on the prize. So how long can they sort of coexist as baby faces when it's clear that she's got designs on the title?
Or if Becky is injured and Alexa is, you know, still making a case
racking up wins
for her to be the number one contender, maybe there's two women who maybe been out in the cold, who only Triple H could ever bring back, who could align themselves with Bianca Belair to take on former friend Bayley and her new pals.
You're right, the Iconics. Yeah, I know you'd be pitching for it. But yeah, that as well. Like, I don't think that was an accident that you were left for a second to ponder who could be evening up the numbers game here. Like, I thought, I know you did, I know a lot of people did, and you were invited to think it before Becky Lynch appeared in the ring there. I love this. I love all of this. I love that this only need be night one of a series of individual matches, tag team matches. I'll think a lot about one of my esteemed colleague, Michael Sidgwick's best, in my opinion, best takes, and he nailed it from the off about the Wednesday Night War, was that in episode one, NXT went big with Matt Riddle and Adam Cole, the biggest match they had in that brand, for the belt, no less. And AEW set up, through Chris Jericho, a stable to counter the Elite, who themselves already had existing rivalries with other people in that company. The sprawling feuds you could generate for weeks, and they did, for weeks months off that, was really like an incredible moment for the company and for obviously their victory in the war. And that's what that reminded me of. I looked at that and I immediately saw all the pairings that everybody could see laid bare, but then the possibility of the things that would spin off those pairings as well. He did it. Even when NXT was garbage, and I'm thinking of like mid-2020 in the empty Full Sail before they moved it to the Performance Center.
Yeah.
You still had the likes of Sasha and Io main event in Sasha and Bayley versus Io and Asuka, and it was one of the only things that could compete with AEW realistically.
Yeah, exactly.
You had the build of the inevitable breakup between Dakota Kai and the Raquel then Gonzalez. Like, he can book women's wrestling.
Yeah.
He gets it more than I think anybody else in North American wrestling history. And why would you not play to your strengths now that you're in the big chair? I just cannot wait for the permutations to reveal themselves over the next couple of weeks.
Not the only return, of course, from SummerSlam, though. After 2 months, I believe, away, Edge is back, seemingly aligning, at least for the night, with the Mysterios to take on his former stable, The Judgment Day. Presumably, he's going to get have his say tonight.
Yeah, I think they've been as patient as they needed to be with Edge. The story was his travel plans were cancelled last week, and the return was saved for SummerSlam. I think that was the right call, ultimately. It felt like a big stadium moment for a big stadium crowd, and it made Edge look as big as he possibly could, despite the like how diminished his aura feels because of the stuff they've already done with him. It's not a last chance, but this needs to go well.
Yes.
It's Edge. He's clearly not bulletproof, but he's there as long as he wants to be, or he's there forever if they want him. But this really, really needs to go well. The obvious thing to do is maybe have, you know, whether they want to do a sixth person, I guess, or the Judgment Day find a third, or indeed you go down the Edge Rey Mysterio route now, and we begin the Dominic term in a more sort of, not a slower way, because the Judgment Day have already said, come and join us, and there's been the teasers of it. We talked last week about the Eddie Guerrero influence on Dominic ultimately overwhelming him and making him pick the Judgment Day because of him wanting to be more like his quote-unquote real dad, Eddie Guerrero, rather than his father, Rey Mysterio. I think Edge might as well be a peripheral character in all of that. If only because on the SmackDown games, he had a wicked execution of the electric chair. So imagine if he was teaching Dominic that move backstage in match prep and didn't realize that he was effectively handing the son the loaded gun with which to shoot the father. Because as we've always said, like that turn will eventually take place. We've made it clear on other podcasts when that day will be. Not going to bore the listeners with that. But maybe, you remember when Triple H and Trish Stratus were working on a hammerlock? Maybe we just cut backstage and Edge is constantly helping Dominic with his electric chair on the shoulders, tight grasp, fall backwards.
Do you think there's any way that the Judgment Day add another member? Because it always feels like they do that to maybe refresh. And I think overall they're probably going to win this feud. Well, I'll get into my predictions in due course, but do you think maybe that's what they need now? I don't know who it might be. Obviously, we'd
pitch Ciampa. If not Dominic.
Yeah, in the interim. Because basically, I'm pitching an eight-man.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I love Rhea Ripley, and I think she could pull this off no bother whatsoever, but they will not book a woman and a man wrestling in WWE.
No, you'd need a woman on the babyface side and do it that way.
And you got Beth Phoenix right there.
Yeah.
And that's what they talked about with Edge coming back. Yes. So I just think, you know, you can't have a babyface numbers advantage. Mm-hmm. Unless, of course, I suppose what you could do, and this actually plays into the storyline, I've sort of stumbled into this with you. They go, all right, once and for all, we'll have an elimination match, or we'll have let's have an elimination match, actually. That makes sense. It makes it easier for me in my booking here. And they go, three of you versus us three. And Ray's like, whoa, free boat ride for three. I'm going to take Edge and Beth Phoenix.
Yes, I like that. Yes,
Dom's
very good.
Like, you what?
The somebody joining Judgment Day, especially if it's not Dominic and it is just another member, is like...
Mustafa, he's got a bit of history with cults.
Well, yeah. Somebody joining at this point has got to make the call that they are sidling up to like the loser stable of the moment. There's always one in WWE now. There's always a group that are just like got this terrible record and they talk a good game and then constantly get beat. I'm not quite comparing the Judgment Day to Retribution, but results wise, they're certainly not far off. Or yeah. Zelina Vega's gang of losers. Like, things don't go well much for the Judgment Day. And, you know, I know they've not got spooky powers or anything like that. But the whole point of them being nasty and villainous and together is that they should get results.
Yes.
And yet it's pretty much gone wrong for them since they booted Edge out, which they had coming because he'd won the night before. So a new member might basically help WWE and Triple H work around the enormous logic hole.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of a plot hole how terrible the Judgment Day are when it comes to wins and losses. So they could do with working through that. And yeah, a new member, it adds a bit of drama and suspense. When Finn turned, that was something to talk about when it came to the group. I'm not saying they're beyond rescuing, because they're not. But as it stands, Edge linking up with Rey Mysterio feels like a protracted squash, doesn't it?
Mm.
The babyfaces win fairly handily in that big blow-off match.
Unless.
Well.
Dom turns on his dad.
Unless. And I could see them going for this as a big Extreme Rules match as well. I think that could be Edge's actual comeback match. Maybe not Clash at the Castle. Got that first, haven't we? So maybe Clash at the Castle, yeah. A big comeback match for Edge on one of those shows. So maybe somebody else is joining the ranks in the meantime.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Let's talk Seth Rollins. Meme-worthy content from SummerSlam, but has he taken Riddle out for good for you?
No, but I like that they tried to convince me of it, and I admire the... ultimately, what proved to be quite a good move, I think, the gumption to take the match off the bill, one that people were really excited about at SummerSlam, Seth Rollins and Riddle, and not just do it for delaying, because that's a WWE thing, it is. Like, not just, we need that for another time, because we have got nothing. There is absolutely nothing on the docket. Instead, run an angle that was welcome on the night as a distraction from some of the matches, and has actually further intensified the heat. That was a significant beatdown that Seth Rollins laid on Matt Riddle. He couldn't get up. Like, they showed the referee trying to pull him to his feet, and he couldn't stand under his own strength. So they're going to work this injury quite well. I think it's going to make for a great match, because Riddle is going to fight underneath what looks like a terrifying injury when they do indeed have their match, which is all a work. There's no even real injury they're teasing here, is it? This is all storyline stuff to build a big angle. No, I thought the angle at SummerSlam was quite inspired, and I think Seth tonight will get to talk about not just that he took out Cody Rhodes, that he's now taken out Riddle, and, you know, who wants a piece of this? And I expect Seth Rollins to win a impromptu match tonight. It's going to be Mustafa Ali again. Like, we're just pitching him for any slot where he's need fit, and he's going to beat a babyface tonight.
Come on, bloody screen, for goodness sake.
He's going to beat a babyface tonight. Just to make a point, really. He's going to do it with the stomp, and I think Riddle's comeback, if nothing else, will be that sort of, maybe he's going to like stand up from the chair, or they're going to show him in hospital. Like, this is going to look like he's had to rehabilitate to get himself ready for Seth Rollins, which puts over Rollins as a bigger threat in the first place. This is not just a match that these two found themselves connected to one another on Raw. Now they're going to have the match to see who's the better wrestler. They're going to have actually injected this with a bit of personality and a bit of grudge.
Yeah.
And I think by the time we get to, I'm assuming Clash at the Castle, you know, they probably want a stadium for this. By the time we get there, I think this is going to be as hot as it's been. Yeah. We're not like 4 weeks or something.
Yeah.
They probably nailed it. Like, honestly, if you think about last week, they pinned Riddle in the main event in Madison Square Garden. They had Roman Reigns defeat him and then had, obviously, Seth lay the beat down on him there. The big heat angle at SummerSlam. Riddle's win is going to mean way more than it would have done had we been talking about this 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't have seen Roman Reigns pin Riddle. You'd have had Riddle crack a joke or do Seth Rollins appreciation night and be trying to hide his joint or something like that backstage. And then they'd have had a good match, a really good match at SummerSlam, and Riddle probably would have won. Would he be as over as I think he'll probably be when he beats Seth after this? I doubt it.
Speaking of people from SummerSlam and what's next for them, Logan Paul, like, fairly definitive,
yeah,
the victory he got over Miz, but there is an opening, you know, for him to capitalize on the buzz around him following SummerSlam. Mm. And there's an argument you could have a tag team match, obviously, with his new friend AJ Styles.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to show up on Raw, perhaps?
So, I keep forgetting. I think it's because it's over here, actually. Where it's, you know, it's in Wales. But I think it's because it keeps, like, escaping my mind that we've got a giant stadium show,
yes,
in a month. Not We, What Culture. We've got an almost as big show.
Yeah, basically.
On the Saturday. That they should theoretically be looking like this as a big stadium card. It's Saudi or Wales beer, isn't it? Like, they're not going to be WrestleMania or SummerSlam big, but they're going to need to look like they belong in a giant stadium. There's nothing worse. Like I say, there's nothing worse than these Saudi Arabia shows. End of sentence. There's nothing worse than on these Saudi Arabia shows when there is something that doesn't belong on a Raw, let alone in front of like 50,000 people or whatever. Yeah. It looks preposterous. So maybe Logan Paul does work the tag. I was thinking you're pretty much done with him till Royal Rumble. He works basically whenever he wants to promote his stupid products. He does what was his talk show called last week?
Impulsive TV.
Does one of them every now and then, kickstart something with somebody. But then realistically, you probably don't get him again till the Rumble. And then
big baby face now.
Well, yeah, and I think maybe there probably is something to that. Like, he's gotten a little bit of momentum off the back of the Miz match. There's clearly a tag match in it, but it's. Do they, this is the question, they've got something in Logan Paul. Do they think we've got to put him in a stadium again? Him in front of big crowds looks better than putting him in the small building straight away. Or do they realise that he might be a draw and save his first Raw match for an event? You know, like him and AJ versus Ciampa and Miz could go in a stadium, but equally they could think, you know, we could get like an extra few hundred thousand viewers off this. Like, maybe it becomes like a big advertised Raw match for a couple of weeks.
You could do a hometown one as well, and that would all make it a little bit easier in terms of baby facing him.
I wonder if they had something in the back of their mind for the tag match to coincide with the week of the Jake Paul fight, but that's been scrapped, hasn't it?
Has it?
Yeah. So I think they probably would have enjoyed doing a bit of piggyback joint promotion on that. And now with that not there anymore, I think it was going to take place in like 2 weeks, and I think it's off. There's been some.
He's mentioned fighting that. What's his name, wasn't he? Tommy Fury.
Yeah, I think there was some sort of finagling with the weight limits and the fight's now off. Or something like that. It sounded like it was ticket related, to be honest. Like a dead and drawn or whatever. But
obviously, security concerns like WrestleMania.
That kind of thing. Oh, we're going to have to give Mick Sergeant Slaughter wrestle in the bulletproof vest. But yeah, so I think. What,
Jake Paul versus Sergeant Slaughter.
Sergeant Slaughter followed me on Twitter recently.
Yeah, he's an interesting one on social media.
I didn't follow him back because I had a quick scan of his tweets and I was like, no, thank you, sir. But I guess, like, thanks for listening, Sarge.
Yeah,
appreciate the subscribe. Leave us a 5-star review. We'll review that time that you were involved in a Photoshop picture with Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Why not?
What do you mean, Photoshopped?
Huh?
Huh? I've been dreading getting to this point, but I'm going to have to ask you about it. Michael Hanflett, is tonight the end of the Street Profits?
Oh.
I'm sort of dreading it, but also quite looking forward to it.
Yeah. They didn't go any further than the defeat on, you know, I had a bit of a flashback to SummerSlam 2021 when I saw that, because the camera lingered on Dawkins and Ford defeated again. Very, like a lot written across the faces of both men, separate and together. And then it cut back to the Usos in the crowd, on the ramp. And I was thinking, oh, like one more cut back to the ring. I don't want this to end. And it reminded me of last year.
Yep.
When, was it the Usos dethroning the Mysterios?
You're right.
And I wanted it to cut back to the ring because I wanted us to be like.
Me and you were messaging, weren't we? Going, yeah. Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. And it fades. Not tonight. Not tonight. And it was like, well, that's good because we didn't predict it for tonight.
Yep,
predicted it for another time. So I wanted it. I wanted more Street Profits interaction. And yeah, I put this out there on the SummerSlam one. I'm going to put it out again because I don't think it's a take I've seen much of. So I don't know, like this might, I wouldn't say this would be boiling hot, but it's in the oven. It's along with the other dinners I can cook. It's Montez Ford turning heel. I think is the way to go here. The reaction to Jeff Jarrett's completely fair count in the match. That sounds like I'm doing a bit, but it was, especially considering his entrance at Ric Flair's last match. But like, best heel in the business still. But his completely fair count, he called it right down the middle, was to get up in his own head and be angry at what he felt was a screw job rather than just the Usos kicking out and we've got to crack on, we've got to win the belts. So his hot-headedness becomes the catalyst for the turn. When he turns, his big head that has been built up by everybody and they're listening and he can say, I've heard it. Everyone's been telling me that I'm going to be the breakout star. So I break out and now all of a sudden you've got a problem with me.
Mm.
Like here it is. Angelo Dawkins already a little bit. I think they've not just backdoored into Montez Ford, future massive, genuine main event star. They might have backdoored into Angelo Dawkins, legitimately sympathetic figure. Because what happens in every single conversation about Montez Ford being a breakout star, you then go, you know, and I feel sorry for Angelo Dawkins because he's pretty awesome. Like, you do it without thinking.
Yeah, we've already sort of booked him to just disappear.
Yeah, everyone has already got sympathy for this guy because he can clearly go, right? He's got a different but no less unique charisma. Montez Ford is a charisma of a different kind, right? Mm. And we've seen megastars become megastars with Montez Ford's brand of charisma. And I think that's where Dawkins differs. Doesn't mean that he can't be a star in his own right. It's just WWE has this horrible record. They've come up with their own terminology, which I don't like. The Jannetty in of guys. It's almost like they look forward to it. Oh, the team is splitting up. Who are we going to Jannetty? See you later, Tucker. Tough tits, because we enjoy Otis. Like,
Otis is hot.
It's just like, why? If you get two stars, bonus, right? And I honestly think they might have shown that a little bit, or the agent in that, if this is a Triple H thing, then great. He's going to get the blame. He's going to get the praise for all the good stuff and somebody else is going to get the blame for the bad, I guess, in this current period, in this in-between, this transition. But I honestly feel like I was directed to see Montez Ford as a guy that maybe should have just got on with business a bit on Saturday rather than questioning Jeff Jarrett, questioning the referee, and yet again letting the Usos get in their heads.
I'd almost allow WWE to do proper WWE stuff here, which is tonight on Raw, one more championship contenders match for the Street Profits versus the Usos, because then they're going, it's happening. Because they'll lose again, and then you know it's coming. Like, rather than just Montez Ford stewing on it and coming out and then clonking his mate with a mic or whatever, like one more shot. Even, maybe not necessarily against the Usos. Maybe you just say, you know, tonight we're going to have a fatal four-way, a load of tag teams, because the Usos we need to hurry up and work out who's facing the Usos at Clash at the Castle, because it's only a few weeks away. And they don't win, obviously.
Yeah.
And that's the real story.
I would book it as I would announce it tonight for next week's Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Because like, to make a point of saying, look, no, we're booking. We're actually thinking about who's doing what and call it, based on Roman and Brock with the Usos, call it last men standing. So it's a contenders match. And this, if they win that, they will get their title shot at Clash at the Castle. If they lose, they can never fight for the belts as long as the Usos have got them.
And we always like to give alternatives here on the podcast, good and bad. You've done the good, correct. Montez Ford turns heel, blah, blah, blah. But what if, using a storyline that this is LTST of a magnificent development, the breadcrumbs, there was one breadcrumb, it's one crumb,
yeah,
and then they hoovered that crumb up and went, we didn't drop any crumbs. someone spikes either Montez Ford or Angelo Dawkins' drink and they have to go to the toilet.
Oh my God. Solo Cup has given him the...
He's poisoned him. He's poisoned his own partner.
Look.
Is that Selena Vega who did that?
Yeah.
Before she became the queen.
In terms,
her as well. What's she up to?
In terms of products that can play havoc with your arse, the Usos have got form.
Oh,
so
yes.
Maybe they're the ones that...
Right, one final thing I want to talk about. Well, I don't necessarily want to... Theory.
Mm-hmm.
Could they have a bit of fun with this? And I'm very hesitant to make light of any of anything related to this whole Vince situation because it's just... But, like, he had a crap night.
Mm-hmm.
He lost inside 5 minutes, didn't win his US title back, and then he thought, oh, it's okay, though, because I want to cash in.
Yeah.
And then both Roman and Brock were like, you can bollocks, you can.
Yeah.
So what if tonight, I don't know, maybe this is too meta, maybe this is too, like, internet fanny, but what if, I just realised I've said internet fanny there. I didn't mean it like that, but still.
Yeah.
What if tonight you just...
The Americans, this is like, why are they lingering on him talking about someone's ass?
Yes. What if tonight, you see him stomping, he's really grumpy backstage, and he walks into this office... Steph's there. She goes, yeah, can I help you? And he like looks back, looks at the door. It's just got CEO written on it. He's like, oh, sorry, yeah, force of habit.
Yeah.
Just a little something like that. I don't know.
That's not bad. It's not bad. Like, they're in a prison of their own making with Theory at the moment. It's all they know to do is to beat the dog out of somebody holding the briefcase. Again, like, do we look here to Triple H to see if there's a... If he has a different attitude towards this, because it's not just the briefcase, is it? It's Theory himself.
Yeah.
What if he's not a fan of him? You never know, I guess, like in a situation like this, they were teasing stuff with Dolph Ziggler. And if they think that's worthy of a premium live event, you assume that Theory goes over in the end. I swear it looked to me like they were going to have Ziggler as his mentor. He's trying to kick some sense into it. I thought that's...
Eventually they become a tag team, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that's where they were heading. You've also got Theory's...
Best of seven series?
Oh, Jesus Christ, mate. I thought we were forecasting is trying to get good again. Drew is somebody that's got a bit of aggro with Theory now. I've got another searing hot take. Did you watch SmackDown in your very busy weekend or not?
No.
I would understand that because SummerSlam was following right after it. So there was a segment at the end where... So obviously Drew's defeated Sheamus and he has now got the shot, right? And then you've got Paul Heyman doing his... This is pre-SummerSlam, so this whole spiel, you know, like talk the last few into the building, that kind of thing. And then there's Theory with like laying claim, I guess, to winning the title. And there's a big schmoz and it all breaks down and that sort of thing. And Drew McIntyre, he hit the claymore on Brock. I think he did. And it hits the claymore on Brock. And it's that sort of like, it was this idea that like, can we make people believe that Brock might win on Sunday on SummerSlam because Drew is now targeting the champion. He doesn't care who, he's targeting the champion, right? So all that sort of stuff. A lot of it feels redundant as soon as the premium live event has taken place. But in that moment, Paul Heyman was obviously looking down at the chaos that had gone on, you know, and like, oh no, his tribal chief, look at all these things that potentially on his tribal chief's plate. And I was thinking like, so they've just done this thing where Paul Heyman has witnessed Drew McIntyre take out Brock Lesnar with the claymore as he has. And he's looked at Theory and he's like, Theory sucks. He's an absolute stupid loser. Could Paul Heyman aid Drew McIntyre into defeating Roman Reigns at Clash at the Castle? And is that how they get out of, well, how do you beat Roman Reigns? How do you actually do it?
Oof.
Like, and they just WWE the absolute living out of it. And you remember like Austin turning in Dallas, that sort of thing. I know we're not in Scotland. But I don't know. I started to wonder if the next leap here for Heyman, especially with Roman going into the part-time schedule and at some point he's going to lose, like, not just one belt, both belts. He's going to be more of a part-timer in every way. I don't know. I saw something in Drew and Paul Heyman as a new sort of a new coupling on screen. And it perhaps speaks to how little I care about Theory that when you asked me about him, it just set me off on that random thought train instead. I don't care. I'd like to see how much they did. Now
This is going to be an intriguing test of Triple H now. Because we said it initially, like, this isn't going to be an overnight change to Monday Night Raw or WWE or anything like that. But there will be incremental changes and you'll be able to, you know, we saw it a little bit with how Raw opened or the fact that they didn't go, oh God, Montez has busted his head open. We got to stop this. Uh-huh. Theory is an intriguing one and I look forward to see how the Triple H era tackles that tonight. And I think that's... Oh, sorry, Paul. Do you want me to... Yeah? Okay.
It's time to play the game!
That's right. Because we've got to work out who Bobby Lashley's next opponent is for the US title.
Oh, man.
And I don't really want to just guess someone from the roster because, although I would... Oh, Chad Gable versus Bobby Lashley. Oh, man. Yeah. But instead, I have the WWE alumni page open in front of me.
Oh, God.
I am scrolling through. Tell me when to stop. Pick a number between 1 and 4. And we will announce in advance of tonight's Monday Night Raw who the new challenger to Bobby Lashley in his United States Championship is going to be.
Stop. 1.
Well, I think one of the last times I saw him on camera, he was aligned with Triple H. So this would make sense in the Triple H era.
Okay.
It's time, Michael Hamflett, for you to get hype. Because Mojo Rawley's coming back.
Oh, my.
Oh, look at that. I remember one of the last memories I have of him is him just shoving Michael Cole whilst Triple H goes, yeah, go on, Cole, get high.
That's right. The bullying episode when he was alongside Gronk and he thought, I'm set for life here. My mate's an NFL guy and he signed. What can possibly go? Oh, everything. Oh, God. You know what? Actually, I'm not going to shoot on Mojo because what a guy. He was involved in that dreadful frigging NFT Officers of Pain show in Nottingham, wasn't he? And
yeah, I did see this. This is top work.
When the whole thing went as tit up as we all assumed it would do, he just out of his own pocket held some sort of meet and greet and a hangout, didn't he? Like a sort of hype bro hangout thing, just because he was here in the UK anyway and thought he'd have a nice time. Nothing but respect for Mojo.
Good luck to him tonight, Chad.
Well, I mean, he's going to get absolutely battered against Bobby Lashley, but fair play to him. Like, the United States Open Challenge, that's what he can do.
Bring it back.
Somebody has to fight Bobby Lashley every single week.
And that also is nice sort of weird mirroring of the other mid-card champion on the other show. I'm not... No,
yeah.
I'm not even defending it on pay-per-view against someone who clearly merits a title shot.
Is this the first time, maybe it's a post-SummerSlam thing that you're only really allowed to think about it now, is this the first time that anybody has said out loud the words to you, Survivor Series, Bobby Lashley versus Gunther?
I've thought about it, but I didn't want to, it's one of those where you're like, I realise you and I did this for a while with Bayley and Sasha.
Yeah.
And I was a lot more confident of that, and I wasn't confident of that at all. I don't want to... You know when someone says, like, do you know what's not happened to me for a while? I haven't lost my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Next day, boom, it's gone. I'm not gonna draw any...
Would you think would lose the title before Survivor Series? Because I'd say Lashley's got more chance of losing the US than...
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I'd have gone through all of it for a year, so...
I mean, it shouldn't be a problem if he never has to defend it on premium live events, so...
Those chops, though. I mean, yeah. But yes... Mojo Rawley versus Bobby Lashley tonight. You heard it here first. Let us know your thoughts.
And last.
Ahead of the first post-SummerSlam Triple H era Monday Night Raw episode.
How many weeks can we get out of this?
A few more, definitely, at least.
The first August Raw, helmed by Triple H, the game.
Yes. A week before my birthday. So it's still time to send presents if you want to What Culture Towers.
It's a week before my mum's birthday, isn't it? You only got a day party in my mum.
Anyway,
send her some cash in the post, Christ.
There your thoughts.
Spend it on my kids.
Edit tonight's Raw on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. The SummerSlam review and the Rampage review are available.
Send us a Sergeant Slaughter 5-star review.
And send us a 5-star review if you haven't done
so. Listen up, pukes.
iTunes.
That's him, not me telling people to please leave us a 5-star review.
iTunes, you can leave us a 5-star review on there and suggest something short, crap, and wrestling related. Or if you want to, you can leave us a 5-star review on Spotify and then just email your review to me, adam.wilborn@whatculture.com. But for now, this has been the Raw Preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.